previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
Excuse me. And if I'm having a shitty day, I'll make sure you do as well. No urine test. Nothing. They're getting into something they have no idea. Contorted into a donut.
And now, today's episode of the Ron Van Dam Show.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
That was a bizarre opening.
Whatever.
Well, good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
That's true. That is true. She's not kidding. It's true.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you today? You're looking really nice. Oh! I know, a compliment came out of my mouth. Unbelievable. Did you hear about the International House of Pancakes, the IHOP people? Whoa, they are changing in a big way. Yes, they're going to all their franchise restaurants and they're removing the P from IHOP and they're inserting a B. So they're going to be IHOB. And you might say to me, Ron, why? What's their point? Well, it's because they're changing to burgers. So it's going to be the International House of Burgers. Now, let me tell you something. That's not a bad concept if they follow it out properly. Because I'll tell you, I don't know how much a place like that can make on breakfast. And that's not even breakfast. That's death food. What they served at International House of Pancakes were pancakes and waffles and heavy, thick, sugary syrup. I think after three visitations to IHOP, you're legally pronounced dead. I believe that's the case. I'm not sure. I think it's in the Bible. I know some people that actually went to the International House of Pancakes or IHOP on a regular basis. And I've been to their wake and funerals. It's not a great idea. It started to get a little expensive as well. And they had the bottomless pot of coffee. Do you remember that? There was no bottom to the pot. You'd pick up the pot of coffee and it would spill all over your lap. Do you remember that? No, you could have as much coffee as you wanted. So you had a bunch of people downing sugar, basically drinking it from the container. Sugar-filled pancakes and waffles, and then as much caffeine as you can possibly inhale. I would have stayed away from that building as much as possible. So I guess the people of the IHOPers there, they said, well, you know, this may not be working out. People are really starting to eat a little healthier than we thought they would. So, and by the way, how international were their pancakes? I think the only international pancake they had was a Belgian waffle. I don't remember having. I'd like to order the pancakes from Afghanistan, please. Oh, the Afghanistan pancakes. Yes. There was nothing international about that place. The only thing interesting I found about the International House of Pancakes, the IHOP, were the various syrups that were introduced. They had like about 20 different flavors of syrups. And I found that somewhat fascinating. I found like a chemist in a laboratory mixing the flavors of three syrups together to invent a new one. It was bizarre. One of my favorite was the boysenberry. I never really touched it or tasted it because as a kid I thought it said poisonberry and I thought, oh, that's all I need. Ron, why don't you have the poison syrup? Try the poison berries, why don't you? Yeah, no. Never had the boysenberry. Still don't know what it is. I've never run across a boysenberry in a supermarket. You know, the strawberries, blueberries, blackberries, raspberries. Never saw the boysenberries. The boys were not out as far as that's concerned. Never saw them. Don't think they really existed. There could be, but I'm not familiar. So the International House of Pancakes people got together and said, well, let's do burgers, because everybody loves a burger, and why don't we do that? That way people can come in for breakfast. I suppose we'll continue the pancakes, I'm not sure. But we'll do the lunch thing, get far more out of that, and even dinner, we get far more out of that. No one's going to our restaurants to have eggs at 6 o'clock at night. Maybe the hamburger's the good idea. So I'm watching a commercial where they're taking down the P off the roof of an IHOP and they're putting on the B and they're explaining the B stands for burgers. And then they have a short clip of the burgers being fried on the grill. And nothing I've seen in a long time looked more greasy and unhealthy than that image that International House of Pancakes is putting forth. If you want a healthy burger, put it on a barbecue grill or something like that, not just on a flat piece of hot metal so that the thing can just stew in its own grease. I mean, what? And I didn't see anything international about it. I just saw a couple of buns, a little bit of bib lettuce, a tomato, and a slug of meat. I mean, I don't understand what's going to, and then fries, which will also kill you if you eat them every day. I don't know. There must be espionage involved with that restaurant chain. And by the way, if you like the restaurant chain, then forget what I said. But if you don't like it, then take it to heart, literally. If they get international with the burgers, they might have some success. For example, they could offer the French burger, which would be perhaps some camembert cheese, with some bacon, perhaps, or they could make it a Swiss burger with Swiss cheese and a little barbecue sauce, or the Afghanistan burger with a little bit of sand in it. You know, they can do the Asian burger, you know, to be politically fair, and you know, Asian burger with a little bit of maybe some soy sauce and some sesame dressing or something like that, you know, a couple of those chow mein noodles, something like that. I mean, that could work. That could work for them. Buffalo burger, where you take a buffalo and you put it in between the buns, and it's possible. So that's it. I mean, I know there's a lot of things going on in the world, and I've chosen to talk about that. Well, speaking of burgers, we all love a good burger, I suppose. We all like a good wad of grease going down our throat. But for some people, wish there was a place where the focus wasn't so much on the burger.
It's like every burger joint that I go to is like, your cheese lover's burger, your bacon lover's burger, your burger lover's burger. What's a guy to do if you just love lettuce?
Well, you're in luck, because Burger Guy is proud to introduce the new Lettuce Extreme. A quarter of a quarter pound of succulent beef piled high with cool, crisp lettuce, iceberg, romaine, bib. It's a lettuce lover's dream, and it's only at Burger Guy.
Thanks, Burger Guy. Now I know where to go to get my lettuce on.
At participating Burger Guy locations for a limited time only. Supersize it with our metric ton of fries and keg of soda for just 12 cents extra. Price, participation, quality, condition, variety, and availability of lettuce may vary.
Here's something that actually happened to me about 3 weeks ago. And this actually happened. So, actually, did you see my little picture of my puppy dog?
Aww.
I just do that in order to get you listening again. Sometimes I have a feeling that you wander off, and I have to somehow bring you back in. This is a true story that happened about 3 weeks ago. It's actually a funny story.
Okay, get comfortable, everybody. It's time for one of Ron's funny stories.
I was in a town called Marshfield, Massachusetts, and they had an art fair in the streets. It was kind of nice. They had street art paintings that they were selling, you know, and it's a nice day, and you strolled around, and there were little families with their little children walking around, a lot of strollers, you know, whatever. And they had some food trucks there, which is a festive thing. One of the food trucks was doing no business whatsoever. All the other food trucks had long lines of like 10, 20 people. This particular food truck, nothing. Not a person interested in the food truck. And why? Because this is what the food truck was. It was called, and I don't understand why, it was called Mom on the Go Grilled Cheese. Let me tell you something. When I'm outside at a festival, I don't say to myself, this is the perfect place for a grilled cheese sandwich. Where can I get one? Oh, look, there's a food truck that is advertising that they only have grilled cheese sandwiches. I don't know if you can cook or not. I really don't know if you can boil water. It's not tough to make a grilled cheese sandwich. If you don't know, let me explain it to you. You take a piece of cheese. Can you handle that so far? You take two slices of bread. Slather a little bit of butter on it or something like that. Put the cheese between the two slices of bread. Heat it up and eat the damn thing. That's a grilled cheese sandwich. I have never in my life been in a restaurant where they have all kinds of food possibilities. And I sit back and I say, I'd like the grilled cheese. What? What? This doesn't make any sense. This was an entire food truck dedicated to just a grilled cheese sandwich. It's funny even to talk about it. It's pathetic. It's just pathetic. This food truck had a big logo of a mother in a big red circle with a piece of toast and with cheese in the middle. And there were three workers inside this food truck. They were just wandering around bumping into each other because there was just nothing to do. And they had on red T-shirts, and in the middle of the T-shirt, around the breast area, there was a large circle with a lady, which apparently was the mother, holding a piece of bread with cheese on it. Sorry, it's so stupid. I was fascinated with this because nobody was going over to the food truck. And I thought, Ron, should you play a joke on them? And I thought, no, they're really suffering. They're getting no money. But I really wanted to walk up to the little window in the food truck and say, excuse me, I like the chicken, please. And they would say, we don't have chicken. What do you have? I have bread and cheese. Oh, we'll grill it up. And here's the funny part. The grilled cheese sandwich was $10. Excuse me. $10 for two slices of white bread and a piece of cheese. Made hot. What are you serious? Actually, if you want to get fancy, we'll put a sliced tomato on it. Oh, that's different. Well, look at the line around the block now. A sliced tomato on top of the cheese. Come on, man. $10? You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. So much for the mom on the go grilled cheese. If you see one of their trucks at an event, you can laugh along with me. It's phenomenal. At a point, these three ladies, who were, I think, all in their 50s or something, they put out little folding chairs in front of the truck and sat down because there was just nothing to do. It's like we might as well just sit outside of the truck and watch life go by because this ain't happening. Ladies, sell the truck. Turn it into Winnebago and go to Orlando or something. My God. Why would you name a company Mom on the Go? Let me tell you something. My mom, I didn't want her on the go. That's a horrible, horrible picture to me. Where's your mom? She's somewhere. She's on the go. What does that mean? I don't know. She won't stay put. She just runs around all the time. My mom's on the go. I wish my mom would stay home or something. I mean, not that she should be wearing an apron and standing in the kitchen waiting for somebody to order a grilled cheese. I'm not saying that. But I don't want my mom on the go. I don't want some man coming up to me and saying, "Is that your mother over there?" "Yes, it is." "Man, is she on the go? Whoa, we had some fun." Oh, no, 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 no.
That was a really funny story, Ron. But then again, I'm in the third grade.
No, no, no. Coming up a little bit later in the program, we have a great guest. And her name is Gwendolyn Javar. She, this young lady, is incredible. If there were more of these ladies, the world would be a better place. She is awesome. And I had the opportunity to schedule an interview with her, and we're going to talk to her a little bit later in the show. She has written a children's book, but the book has a really good, solid foundation message for children. And I just think that's so damn important. Because when you're growing up, you know, when you're a child, that's when you're a sponge. You are a literal sponge when you're a child. You're taking in information and ideals and morals and thought patterns. It shapes who you are going to be for the rest of your life. You're a sponge only till you're about age of sex, I'd say. After that, like after 15 or 16, your sponge starts to dry up. That didn't sound right, did it? No, that sounded wrong. I mean a sponge in the sense that you're soaking up information, not what you thought I said. So it's important to reach children, to give them morals and foundation and goodness and sensitivity and compassion and respect, all in those sponge years when they're a child. It's so important. It's the most important part of anybody's life. Once you're over 20 years old, cash it in. Not important anymore. Now you're just doing these life experiences that are going to mess you up. Now you're into the retaliation part of your life where, oh, that was a bad experience. I'm not going to let that happen again. But when you're a little child, when you're 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or that kind of thing, you just take it in and if you're fed good stuff, then you're going to be good stuff. So kudos to her, cooties to her. And we're going to talk to her momentarily. She's wonderful. She's just wonderful. Anyway, I was very impressed by her. Okay, we're going to do that in just a second. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess what I'm wearing?
Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show is like realizing that you put your underwear on backwards this morning. It's wrong, but it doesn't feel bad, and it's not like anyone's ever going to find out, so just go with it. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Gwendolyn Javar joins us now. She's an author And she has written a very interesting children's book that I think transcends even that age. It's called Absurdimals. And it's Lola Goes to School. A character has been created named Lola, who is actually a bunny and an elephant, I understand?
Yes, that's correct. She's a bellephant, actually.
Okay, bellephant. And that, of course, is indicative of what we're talking about, where your background is not so clearly just one-dimensional. There are many facets to it.
That's correct. I actually went to law school before I started doing this.
Mm-hmm. In New York, I understand.
In New York, yeah.
Okay, New York City?
New York City, New York Law School.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, and at some point, I gather that you decided to take a path in this direction. Why did you do that?
Yeah, so I waited basically to the end of law school. I did finish, but in my last semester, I had already been working on a project with a friend of mine from school that kind of had some similar undertones about, you know, embracing individuality, although it was more for adults. So when this idea came to me, I really just kind of got stuck on it, and I wanted to take those same concepts and those same issues. And I had these paintings that I did in high school, these three hybrid animal characters, one of which is the bellephant, and I thought they'd be a really great vehicle to talk about those issues with kids.
When you first penned the character and the quote-unquote cartoon, were your reasons for the bellephant the same as what they transcended into be in teaching this in the book?
No, not at all. Hmm. These characters, the first one that I actually created was the dog duck.
Mm-hmm.
And again, these were part of like a high school art class project that I did. So I just used to doodle the characters, and I held on to them because they were really cute. And a lot of people had asked me over the years if they could buy them for me. And so I just held on to them. But you know, I definitely believe that things happen for a reason. So I think everything with our social political climate today just kind of all came together.
Very much so. And I guess timing-wise, I'm curious, because celebrating diversity is very popular now, and it's of actually very recent that the celebration has occurred despite the political and social atmosphere. But did you do that before this celebration of diversity? Or did this magically fall into it?
I think it kind of, well, the two definitely fell into one another, but it's always been something that was very important to me with my own past dealing with personal issues of depression. I was always kind of drawn to people who I could sense that maybe they didn't feel their own value and their own worth.
Yeah.
And so it's always been really important to me to kind of let other people know that whatever they are, whatever makes them them, is perfect and beautiful in and of itself. And I just think that's so important for people, and especially kids, to take in today's world.
Yeah. Now, I'm also from New York City, Jackson Heights. I don't know if you know where that is, out in Queens.
Okay, yeah, I do.
Yeah, and see, I grew up in a diverse society since birth. So people live in large cities like that, urban areas. They're baked into diversity. Actually, that makes them rather comfortable and certainly more understanding. Other parts of the country, not so much. Because they don't have that around them on a regular basis, and it's somewhat foreign to them. So this book seems to say to us as a culture that this diversity is a beautiful thing. And some of us already realize this. Others are still discovering.
Yeah, I mean, so one of the things, one of the lines of the book that I think is one of the most important ones is where Lola's principal says to her, you know, there's no such thing as being too different. Mm-hmm. It's only that you can be new different. And I think that's very much part of, it's not like any one person's problem. I think as human beings, we're kind of wired to be tentative of things that are new to us and unfamiliar. But I think if we can remember that all things, especially, I mean, you look at our world today and 150 years ago, everything around us, it would probably seem absolutely absurd, but it's just because it was new at one time, and with understanding and patience, everything does come to be accepted. So it's just a matter of looking at things with a little bit more of an open mind.
Yeah. Now, interestingly enough, the other subject matter that the book addresses is depression, which you also have had apparently some experience with and struggle with that. But that is also a topic that has even more recently blossomed with suicide, and this is filtered more into society, and now it's being discussed and talked about and discovered and admitted in people that actually have these concerns, that they can actually bring it out and discuss them. That's the other half of it, I guess, and this is also brought out in the book.
Yeah, I mean, it's not directly mentioned because it is, after all, a children's book, but it definitely all ties into each other. For me, I had really early onset depression, and that in and of itself actually made me feel very isolated and like there was something wrong with me. So everybody has their own experience with feeling different. Mine wasn't necessarily that I was bullied so much, but all of these things relate to each other in that we can all kind of relate to feeling lonely and isolated at different times. So I think if we can kind of put aside our superficial differences and recognize that and realize that that's what people need. And I'm so glad that depression is being spoken about more openly, because it really is so important.
Absolutely. And of course, it's not, none of this is direct in the book, as you say, it's a children's book, but it does kind of open a child's eyes in that mindset to be more accepting of everything. And there's no question that that's where you do it. You do it when a child is young, when a human is young. That's when those feelings and that respect kind of seeps into their personality. So, and then you actually took it a step further. I understand you did a book signing in Budapest.
Yeah. So I'm half Hungarian, and I was born and raised in Budapest. Mm-hmm. So I just came back yesterday actually from that.
Yeah.
And it was so wonderful. I mean, I went to an international school, so I did, a few readings at my school, the American International School of Budapest, and then also the British International School there. And I just was so impressed with the kids. I mean, all the kids that I've read to here as well, they're so intelligent, so empathetic. But I think especially, like you said, in environments where people are growing up around a lot of diversity, they're even more attuned to these issues. And the kids were sharing their own stories about feeling different and their experiences with it. And it was just really beautiful to see, like you said, they're just sponges right now. And I'm an idealist. I believe if we can get them to think more this way at an early age, then, you know, we will have a better future. Yeah.
The older we get, the young sponge-like we are. That kind of goes away. We turn into rocks rather than sponges as we grow year by year, unfortunately. Some of us do. You are a humanitarian by virtue, actually, of your thoughts, but you actually go out and spread the word, so to speak. I understand there's also a social media app that you're involved with.
So that was actually the other project that I was working on when I was in law school. And that, even though that didn't come to fruition really, it was a wonderful experience, and I would definitely kind of say it was probably the catalyst to bringing me to what I'm doing today. So, like I said, similar undertones. It was about bringing adults together who feel like they have a hard time finding one another.
Well,
so,
who knows? Who knows? Things blossom from one thing to another sometimes.
And yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's like a comedian or a writer going back into their files, and or a songwriter pulling up songs that they wrote 20 years ago, work on them, and all of a sudden there they are. So you never know. You never know.
True. Very true.
Yeah. Well, man, you do a lot of stuff. So now the book could actually turn into other things, other ventures. I know that you're thinking about making it a series.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a series. The second book is going to be out around the same time as last year, so end of year, maybe beginning of the next year, and it will be a series in that you'll continue to see the same characters, the three original uh-huh. Absurdimals. The next book is going to feature the dog duck, the doc, and each one will have their own kind of, it'll be more about adventure. This first book definitely was a little heavier on message and just setting up the whole concept. But from this point on, it'll be a little bit more about adventure and excitement, but that underlying message about accepting yourself for who you are and respecting all individuality is definitely still going to be there. And we're also working on making stuffed animals right now, so those will be available in a few months, and I'm hoping to expand beyond.
Fantastic. Well, continued great success to you. Now, how can people follow the books, the ventures, that kind of thing?
So they can go first to my website, which is www.absurdimalsseries.com. If you can't remember that, then you can just Google Absurdimals. It's absurd and then imals.
Yep.
And also you can follow Absurdimals on Facebook and Instagram, both just at Absurdimals.
Excellent. Impressive how you've turned your life into actually opening other people's eyes, and that's it's a pretty cool venture in life, pretty nice road. So congrats on that. Congrats.
Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
As with you as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gwendolyn. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it. That's Gwendolyn for you. What a wonderful person, huh? Yeah, right. Pick up her book if you have children or your grandparent or you know somebody with children or you saw one of them one day somewhere. Pick up the book. It's really important. Okay, we're out of time for today. This has been an experience that I'll never forget, at least for 10 minutes. And hope the same for you. Hope we've enlightened you or made you think or increased your ability to urinate. I have no idea what I'm talking about at all. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be back again when the next weekday rolls around with a brand new show. Until then, I do wish you peace.